That's right. We did. We certainly did. Can we get Miss Barbara to come back up here, and we'll recognize our birthdays for January. If you've got a birthday in January, I'd like you to raise your hand just very quickly. There you go. Now, there you go. Oh, yes. Look at this. And if they need help, that's right. If they need help getting that hand up there, help them out. Come down. Everybody's got a birthday in January. Come down and let's sing happy birthday. Look at this. My goodness. Today. Hallelujah. January the 4th. January the 3rd. Oh, yeah. I should have had a V8. Well, let's stand and sing happy birthday. Amen. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Yes, Buck.
I forgot earlier. I'd like to mention that the ice machine, the drain line froze up. I got it unplugged. But the one that my cord ran across is called the drain line. It was overflowing bottom and off the water up on the floor behind it.
Amen. Amen. I know Kyle came to me first and foremost this morning. Let me know. Preacher, the ice machine's broke. The ice machine's broke. It's overflowing. I said, oh, Lord, no, it's overflowing. Well, there's a little water on the floor. I got it up. We got it up. We took care of it. I said, thank you, Kyle. He saw the Lord's work, and he moved to get it done. How do you see the Lord's work? I mean, how do you see what the Lord's doing? And you, I mean, just like Jeanette had shared this morning, you just see what the Lord's doing, and you just jump in and help out. How do you see what the Lord's doing? Anybody, how do you see what the Lord's doing?
Everything around.
Well, I mean, there's so many things that I think Powhatan's involved in that the Lord's doing, like outreach. You know, we have outreach on Friday night. We have outreach. I mean, we have outreach on Thursday night, and the Lord. I believe the Lord's in the midst of that. And then we have outreach to the nursing homes, and without a doubt, the Lord's in. And I think the Lord's in the midst of that. And we have. And by the way, even though we have kind of put it to the side during the holiday season, we have prayer time on Saturday mornings. And I know Joey was here Saturday morning, but he was here all by himself. And next Saturday morning at 9 o'clock, I hope he's not here all by himself. We have prayer time. We take time out, and I believe the Lord's in the midst of that. So. How do you see what the Lord's doing and then jump in and be a part of it? You just look around and you see what the Lord's doing. If it's good, if it's a wonderful thing, then I believe that the Lord's in the midst of it. But you know what? 9 times out of 10, I don't want to, that percentage is too heavy. Many times, Christians look around and see some of the things God's doing, and instead of jumping in to help out, they criticize. They see what's wrong with it. We don't have time for that. I can't take my time out for that. And so instead of being an encouragement, if you can't be a part of it, you ought to be praying for it. Certainly not discouraging, not discrediting it, and complaining about it. I believe everybody here this morning wants to have a closer walk with the Lord probably in 2010. Is there anybody here this morning that would openly admit as a Christian that you're not really interested in a closer walk with the Lord this year? That last year was perfectly all right and you're just going to do the same thing that you did last year. You don't want to improve your walk with the Lord. Anybody here want to just raise your hand very quickly? I didn't think so. So every one of us here wants a closer walk with the Lord Jesus Christ this year. And by the way, 2010 is, have you heard about 2012? Have you heard about the reports about 2012? Why, my goodness, there's people expecting spaceships to come from outer space and come and land here and finally introduce those people to us. They're going to introduce themselves to us. And also, not only that, when the space people come here, they're going to point out all the other space people that have been here all along. We never knew it. 2012. That's what's going to happen in 2012. You believe that? How many of you believe that there are actually UFOs or space people out there in outer space? Now I know I'm grinning. But let me tell you something. I don't know if there are or they're not. But you know what the scripture says? You know what God says about the outer. But you know what the Bible? Yeah. Let me get this in here. You know what the Bible says about outer space? God says very clearly, do not be dismayed about the heavenlies. Do not be dismayed about the heavenlies. Whatever's going on out there, God knows about it. God's in control of it. And did you know that the Bible teaches that the devil is the prince of the power of the air? So, I don't know about UFOs. We hear about them all the time. I don't know about that. But I do know this. God is in control. And I belong to the Lord. And I'm looking for His coming. 2012, how about this? Suppose 2012 come, and the Lord Jesus come back. Boy, wouldn't that shake up a lot of folks? People would be running for the hills. 2012. Let's just concern ourselves with 2010. How can we have a closer walk with the Lord Jesus Christ in the year 2010? And I don't think there's a better example. I share it every year because it's important. It's an important testimony. I don't think there's a better example than Simeon. In Luke chapter 2, many times we're reading the scriptures and we're reading about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ and the shepherds and all of that, and we're excited about that. But when we come to Luke chapter 2, verse 21, and it begins to talk about the eighth day and when the mother Mary and Joseph bring their child to be dedicated to the Lord, somehow that's not quite as exciting as the shepherds. But let me tell you something. It's most important. There's a most important example in the life of Simeon that you and I need, that you and I ought to want to practice that example. Turn with me, if you will, this morning to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Here in Luke chapter 2 is recorded the great promise of God to one man who looked steadfastly day by day to the one day coming of the Messiah, to the one day coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Simeon didn't know it was the Lord Jesus Christ, but he knew that the Messiah was coming. He counted on the promises of God that the Messiah would be coming, and so he daily lived his life and walked in such a way as to bring honor and glory to God, knowing that one of these days the Messiah would come. And if we want to know how we can walk closer to the Lord in 2010, we need only to look to this life's example of Simeon. He was a man of prayer. He was a man of honesty and integrity. He was a man who loved God and was looking every day for the coming of the Messiah. I want to ask you a question. Have you gotten to the point in your Christian walk where somehow today is just not as today you just think, well, I'm just not going to look for the Lord every day. I'm just going to, when He comes, He'll come, and that's all there is to it. And I'm not going to try to anticipate that maybe today the Lord's going to come. Have you got to that point in your Christian walk? Many Christians have. Many Christians today are just going to just perfectly willing that when the Lord comes, that's fine. But until such time, I'm going to carry on. I'm going to take care of today's activities and whatever comes this my way today, and be done with it. Many Christians are that way. There's not a day that goes by that I don't think to myself that today could be the day that the Lord Jesus is coming back. And if in fact we lose sight of the fact that today could be the very day of the coming of Christ, we'll lose sight of the fact that it's unimportant for us to be sharing that urgency with others. In Luke chapter, let me just say this. Simeon was a man obedient to God's word and to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And this is the kind of life that will always experience that closer walk with the Lord. Enjoy the peace and the contentment of the Lord and be a great witness to others as we wait upon the Lord's soon coming again. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, this morning again, as we have an opportunity to share in your word, we thank you for each one that's come this way, Father. We ask your blessing upon your word. And Father, we thank you for the testimony of Simeon, Father. We thank you that this has been recorded for us to read and to, Father, to also to see the example of Simeon. Father, every day we anticipate the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We look forward to it, Father, and even more so as we see the world so quickly falling away. Father, we ask your blessing this morning upon your servant as we share in your word, and we pray that each and every heart will be opened and receptive to what is shared this morning, Father. And if for somehow we just are maybe a poor example of Christ, maybe our testimony in this world is a testimony that doesn't bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, but brings discredit upon his name. Father, I would pray that this would be the year that we would clean that up. If we're walking in a way that just brings dishonor and discredit to the Lord Jesus, I would pray that today we'd make that New Year's resolution to clean up our walk and to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts and to move us in such a wonderful and powerful way that we'll put aside the wicked way and seek to follow the righteous way. Father, none of us are righteous. We're only righteous in our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. We stumble, we fall, we make mistakes. And yet, Father, how sad it is that as we profess to be Christians, we stumble, we fall, we make mistakes, and yet we're not convicted at all about that stumbling. Somehow we just don't feel the moving of the Holy Spirit anymore upon our hearts. And Father, that is a desperate, devastating and a desperate place to be in for any Christian. Because your word tells us that my spirit will not always strive with man. And so, Father, for that one that's walking that path that doesn't feel the conviction, they profess to be Christians, but they don't feel that convicting power of the Holy Spirit, they, Father, are they might as well be on the same road in the same path as the unsaved, because they have they feel no response whatsoever necessary to the moving of the Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit is moving in their life at all. So, Father, this morning as we share, Lord, we just pray that you'd, this year, Father, that we would be encouraged in a closer walk with you, Father, that we'd put aside all of those things that so easily beset us and drag us down, Father, that our testimony in the world is not a testimony of light and beauty and hope, Father, but a testimony of sadness and sorrow. Lord, we just ask your blessing upon your word this morning and just speak to us, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Verse 21 says, "And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb." You got that, didn't you? Did you get that? God named Jesus Christ. God gave himself the name Jesus, if you will, before he was ever conceived in the womb. Which means that abortion today, God knows every one of those little children that have been flushed aside. God holds every one of those little children, and they're going to be a witness against the wicked someday, by and by, when we see those that come before the great white throne judgment. If for those that are using abortion as a means of contraception, God have mercy on their soul. And God have mercy upon this nation, because this nation is awash in the blood shed, in the shed blood of innocent little infants. No wonder we're stumbling and falling in the midst of such mass confusion. No wonder we have such corruption on Capitol Hill. By George, we've left the foundation upon which this nation was built. We deserve what we get today. We deserve every bit of it. When 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb, before God sent his only begotten Son into this world. He sent messengers ahead to announce his coming. The prophets announced Christ's coming in the Old Testament, so they were without excuse in the Old Testament. And angels announced his soon arrival in the New Testament, and so those who lived in the New Testament days were without excuse in the report of the coming of the Messiah. And the Bible says that God gave his Son the name Jesus before he was even conceived in the womb. The Bible also teaches that God determined to send his Son into this world before the foundations of the world were even laid, before you and I were even probably a thought in God's head or God's mind. He intended to send forth his Son into this world to die for you and for me. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 18 and 20, For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. God determined to send Jesus into this world before he ever laid the foundations of the earth. And so the Bible says that God gave Christ the name Jesus before Jesus was ever placed in Mary's womb. And verse 22 says, "And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him, Jesus, to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons." Jesus is not being brought to the temple to be baptized. You know, Jesus is not being brought to the temple to be baptized. There are people who bring their children, their infants, to a priest to be baptized because they feel it's important that this child be baptized, because without baptism, these little souls, if they should die in infancy, will never enter the kingdom of God. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Absolutely, I don't believe that at all. The baby Jesus is not being brought to the temple for baptism. He's not being brought to the temple to save his soul. He's being brought to the temple to be dedicated to the Lord. The parents are saying to God, "Here is our son. We give him back to you with our solemn promise to raise him in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." And you and I, over the years that we've been together, have seen mothers and fathers come before this church and make a commitment to the Lord, present their children in dedication to the Lord, and make that claim that they intend to raise their children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And lo and behold, we haven't seen them back, many of them we haven't seen back in the church, and we hear testimony of them that many of the moms and dads have since separated, divorced, gone their separate ways. God holds us responsible, moms and dads, holds moms and dads, dad more so than mom, for the proper upraising of their children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And so for this reason, Jesus is being brought to the temple by his parents, that they will dedicate him back to the Lord, give him back to the Lord. And verse 25 says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him." Let me tell you that every day Simeon was looking for the coming of the Messiah. The Bible says the Holy Spirit came upon Simeon. What a wonderful thing to happen. Because until the death, burial, resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, nobody could be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit could come upon them, but couldn't indwell them. And yet, so this was a marvelous thing for Simeon to see the Lord Jesus, to have this to have the Holy Spirit come upon him in power. Verse 26 says, "And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. The Bible says three interesting things here about Simeon. First, he was a just and a devout man. He was a just and a devout man. In other words, he lived honestly before God and before man. He was a man of integrity, of truthfulness, and faithfulness. Doesn't that just walk all over your feet, your toes? Does mine. Does mine. I want to be a man of integrity. I want to be a man of faith. I want to be a man who's trustworthy. When you share with me something, I want to be, and it's confidential, I want you to know that you can share that with me and not another soul is going to hear of that or enter into that covenant that you and I have together. I want to be a trustworthy individual. I want to be a person that's faithful. The church today needs men and women just like Simeon. Let me rehearse these again. Let me share these again. He lived honestly before God and before man. He was a man of integrity, truthfulness, and faithfulness. And the church today needs men and women just like Simeon. The church today needs leaders just like Simeon. And the church today needs pastors just like Simeon. There are those in the church today that get along very well with their brothers and sisters and in so doing believe themselves to be very devout Christians. You know, we do. I can get along with you and you can get along with me inside the church, but once we go outside the church, boy, sometimes it seems like we've stepped out of the glow of the Lord Jesus Christ and we've stepped out in the world and now we get consumed by the world. But socializing with God's people by no means speaks credit to a man's personal relationship to God. Just because we socialize together and just because we have a relationship one with another as Christian brothers and sisters, members of Powhatan Free Will Baptist Church, doesn't mean at all that we have a personal relationship with God. A personal relationship with God comes when we open our heart to Him personally and we allow Him to come in and take up abode in our hearts. Many people love to socialize and attend meetings and be active in organizations, but this is not valid evidence of one's relationship to Christ. And then there are those, on the other hand, who spend all of their time talking about the Lord and what the Bible teaches and what the Lord expects of every man, and by doing so profess to be devout Christians. Yet they cannot get along with their brothers and sisters. They can't find anything right with the church, and they can't find anything right with the leadership of the church, and yet they consider themselves to be just and devout Christians. But God's testimony of just and devout can be found in the life of Simeon. He was well loved and respected by his brothers and sisters, and he was faithful to the Lord. You know, I heard the other day, in fact, one of my grandsons had watched some kind of a comic skit, and he wanted me to see that skit because it was so funny, because it talked about religion. And the thing is that the comedian was talking about this atheist that came up to him. Maybe you saw the skit, I don't know, but the atheist came up and turned around and sneezed real big, and he didn't even block his sneeze. He just turned around and faced this professing Christian, and he just sneezed right in his face, and he didn't even apologize. You know, he just started to go on, and the professing Christian, the comic, said, "Oh, I wanted to tell him off. Oh, I wanted to give him down the road," but he says, "I said, 'God bless you. God bless you.'" And he said, "I had to say 'God bless you' because I can't bless. I can't say 'bless you' because," he says, I don't have the authority to bless anybody. Only God can bless." You know, isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth? That is the truth. Only God can bless. But when we say "bless you," we understand that as being a common courtesy that we want the person to get better, and we're sorry that they're sneezing. So. The atheist looked at him and he says, "God bless you." He says, "Are you a Christian?" He said, "Yes, I am." He says, oh, is that right?" And he says, "So what happens to you when you die?" And the comedian said, "Well, I was raised a Catholic." And he says, and I don't mean to mean, he says, "I was raised a Catholic, and I know that if I live a good life and I treat other people nice, then when I die, I'm going to heaven." Is that the truth? Is that the truth? And the atheist said, well, when I die, I'm going to become a tree. I'm going to become a beautiful tree. He said, and I'm going to grow up and I'm just going to be just flow in the wind. And the Christian said, well, he says, when you're flowing in the wind and another Christian comes along with an axe and cuts you down and sends your wood to the pulp, turns your wood into pulp and makes pages out of it and they print a Bible out of it, won't you be rejoicing? Well, I thought that was pretty cute. My grandson thought that was pretty cute too. But I had to make the point about the Christian who said, I need to live a good life, I need to do good, and when I die, I'll go to heaven. Did you know, if in fact that professing Christian believes that in his heart, he will end up in hell just like the atheist will end up in hell. Because goodness has nothing to do, our goodness has nothing to do with eternal life. Our good works have nothing to do with eternal life. Eternal life has everything in the world to do with what we believe Christ did for us on the cross. Isn't that right? That's right. Cast all your cares upon Him because He cares for you. We can't. Our good works are filthy rags to the Lord. And I hope you really... We don't do good works because it gets us into heaven. We do good works because God, the Holy Spirit in our life, moves us in those directions. Moves us to come to church and to be participants in Christian fellowship and so forth. We do that not because it gains us eternal life, but because we love the Lord and we want to do what the Lord leads us to do. I just wanted to share that with you. But God's testimony of just and devout can be found in the life of Simeon. The Matthew Henry makes the very interesting point about Simeon. He was just and devout, just towards men and towards God. These two must always go together, and each will befriend the other, but neither will atone for the defect of the other. Neither will atone. If you truly love God, it will be reflected in your love also for your brother. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 20, the Bible says, if a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a what? He's a liar. I didn't say that. The Bible says that. John said that. If a man say, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? The man who says he loves God and hates his brother, the Bible clearly says, is a liar. The just and the devout Christian will have the law of Christ written not upon a piece of paper stuffed inside their Bible or within a picture frame hanging upon their wall or even upon the many trinkets that dangle from the neck or the lapel. The just and the devout Christian will have the law of Christ written upon his heart, where the world can see it every day in the life he lives. What is the law of Christ? What is the law of Christ? To love the Lord and to equally love who? One another. Simeon had the testimony of the Holy Spirit that he was both just before men and devout before God. Can the Holy Spirit testify the same thing about you this morning? Secondly, the Scripture tells us that Simeon was alert, looking for the coming of the Messiah. Simeon was an alert and prayerful servant of God, looking daily for the promised coming of the Messiah. His prayer was that he would not die until he saw the face of God. How many years came and went and came again without any sign of the coming of the Lord Jesus, yet Simeon never lost hope, never lost his great anticipation of seeing God's Messiah come to the temple one day. Today, many Christians are getting tired of waiting for the rapture of the church. They've become less concerned about a daily walk with Christ. And might I say, too, they've become less concerned about how they appear and what their testimony is in the world about Christ. Christians have become less concerned about their walk in this world and how they reflect the Lord Jesus Christ in this world. And that is the saddest, sickest testimony of any Christian. People stand up and say, I'm a Christian. They take the name of Jesus Christ and apply it to their lives, and then they drag His name out into the gutter. Live daily in the gutter. How many years came and went and came again without any sign of the coming of Christ? And today many Christians are getting tired of waiting for the rapture of the church. They've become less concerned about a daily walk with Christ. Initially, they held God's banner high, but now it doesn't seem as important as it used to. After all, there's so much going on in the world today. Time just doesn't permit us to spend much of it wondering if Christ is coming today. God, we say, is a God of grace and compassion. He'll not forget us. And then we go about our daily lives as if the world is our element and only hope. But God expects above all things for His children to be vigilantly looking for His soon return. God expects us to be looking up every day, looking up for His soon coming. Matthew 24, listen, the Lord Jesus says, therefore be ye also, this is Jesus, your Creator, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man comes. Simon was looking for Christ's coming every day. And so he was a man of faith, he was a man of hope, and he was a man who trusted in the Word of God. And finally, he was a man upon whom the Holy Ghost came to rest. Proverbs 8:34 says, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my door. And Simeon was just such a man. And because his every day belonged to the Lord, God blessed him with a special anointing of the Holy Ghost. God not only answered Simeon's prayer, he went beyond his request. Look at verse 27. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. This is Simeon. He came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. Not one of us wants to see death until we've first seen this, spiritually speaking, God's anointed, the Lord Jesus Christ. Simeon not only got to see the Lord Jesus face to face, he also got to hold him in his arms. There are many in this world, and maybe even some in this sanctuary, that have seen the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, they've seen some word picture of Him, or even had a spiritual experience with Him during a church service, or maybe in some other emotional setting felt very close to the Lord. Many have seen Christ in this light, but they have yet to take Him to their heart. They have yet to allow Jesus to become the Lord of their lives, to receive that peace and that solitude that comes from knowing Him on an inward and personal basis. In John chapter 6, it says, Jesus says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Have you seen the Lord Jesus Christ face to face spiritually? You and the Lord Jesus together. Not you, not as a church body, not as the church body, not as a group, but you personally see face to face the Lord Jesus. Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door. God says this, and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. Simeon not only saw the Messiah face to face, but was also given the great opportunity of holding him close to his heart. You have no idea what this year will hold for you. But if you belong to Christ, you know who holds the new year, and no matter what burden you face in the coming year, you'll not be facing it alone. If you'll take Christ close to your heart and walk each day with Him, the serious health problem, the crushing family member, and even the financial burdens will all be met with Jesus at your side. Mind you, God is, if you're in the midst of a financial burden, if you're in the midst of a physical burden or whatever, God may miraculously just pull you right out of that. Now, if you win the lottery and you praise the Lord that somehow he jerked you, he used that lottery to bring you out of financial burden, I can tell you it's not going to be long before you're going to be right back in financial burden again. Because I don't believe God bails people out that way. I believe God lets you walk, turn around and walk, and he walks with you right back out of that difficult situation. God will guide you just as he led Simeon to the temple that day to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. Simeon was away, but God, by way of the Holy Spirit, brought him right to where Jesus was. And he says, see, I promised you this, and see, here it is come to pass. Do you want to see a better, do you want to have a better walk with the Lord Jesus Christ this year? Well, Jesus says this, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these other things will be added unto you. First, find me, and then walk with me, and I'm going to take care of all these other burdens that you have. I'm going to take care of them. That's a promise of the Lord Jesus. And that's a good promise to go into the new year with. Are you walking with the Lord today? I hope so. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time, Father. We just again ask your blessing upon each and every one that's come this way. Lord, as we depart the sanctuary, Father, I pray that not one person would leave this sanctuary without having confidence in their heart that if the Lord Jesus Christ and the rapture of the church would take place, the Lord would come, the rapture of the church would take place at this very hour. Not one soul in this sanctuary would be left behind. Father, I pray for that one that's furthest from thee, and I pray that the Holy Spirit, as it knocks upon that heart's door, that that heart will open and receive Christ as Lord and Savior. Father, that it become not a distant relationship, Father, but it'll become a heart-to-heart relationship, one with another, walking hand in hand. Father, you bless your people this morning. Do for them what nobody else can do for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.